Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I also greet you using the words of Paul to the church at Colossae, paraphrasing that a little bit. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Shade Mountain, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. That phrase, praying always for you, has taken new dimensions, greater dimensions, especially since we haven't been gathering together for collective worship. And I try to pray daily for you all and trust that it's a mutual thing. For a devotional meditation title this morning, I'd like for you to think of keeping faith through COVID-19. And begin with the Word of God, a scripture in Romans chapter 8. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And then in verse 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And may I add, and from each other. I'll also think of the words of Jude in verse 3. Beloved, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And perhaps this morning it is more needful than ever that we simply do that to each other. We earnestly contend for the faith. And we encourage each other. It's my desire this morning that to do what I can to encourage each other and to exhort each other in the faith and to keep on and to press on in spite of the situation that we find ourselves in. Our faith is being tested in ways through COVID-19 that we have not been tested before. And one test is the order to refrain from gathering for collective worship. While we may be able to do that for a time or a season, it would seem to me that there's limits to that. Past history would confirm this as we look at the Christian church in the past and the saints in the past. The value they put on collective gathering and gathering together to encourage each other. Why did Christians, why did the saints in the past worship in secret? Why did they worship behind closed doors? Because they deemed it as a very necessary element of the Christian life. Very, very needful part, a very vital part of their worship experience. Now, collective worship has always been a vital part of the Christian experience. It may not be the sole lifeline, but it is a vital part of the fabric that makes up the lifeline of the Christian experience. Well, give us three references from the scripture. The first one is in Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Verse 16, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. I want you to note three things here in this. I'd like to highlight three things. The first is, it's they spake often one to another. It was not just a once every year or however often it was, I'm not sure, but it obviously was often that they spake one to another. What did they talk about? I'm sure they talked about the faith and the things of God. And then secondly, it says the Lord hearkened and heard it. So that tells us that it was something that was very valuable and something that was was a meant something to God. It was very special. It was important that God looked down and he heard. It says he's hearkened and heard. He listened and he heard it. So when we gather together for our collective worship, God hearkens and God hears it. So by that phrase, we can tell that it tells us something, that this was special to God. And the third one is, it says a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. It was recorded by God. So you have those three things. The Christians, they spoke often one to each other about their faith and about the things of God. They encouraged each other. They exhorted each other. They spent time together. It was a valuable and a very vital part of their Christian experience. And it was that before God too. The fact that God hearkened and he heard it tells us that it was very significant to God too. And the fact that it's recorded, it seems like they're gathering together their worship and getting together and speaking about the things of God was recorded by God, and a book of remembrance was written. So these three things, this scripture tells us how important the collective worship and the gathering together was in the past, and I believe it's the same today for those that fear God. The second scripture is Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Highlighting a couple things here. It says that not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Now, I'm not sure why the writer of Hebrews brings this in, but it would appear that there were some, even at that time, that felt that collectively gathering together, worshiping together, exhorting one another, and in a worship service really didn't have that much value to them. You know, we hear this statement today. There are those who feel like, yeah, I can worship at home, and I really don't need to get together with anyone else. And that's true, in a sense. We can do that, but I believe just in what we have experienced here at Shade Mountain for the past 6 weeks, five, 6 weeks, whatever the time has been, it tells us something that just doesn't suffice. There's something missing when we don't get together and share together mutually and in a collective worship service. So, and then it says, but exhorting one another. Well, how do you do that? I realize today we have much technology they didn't have then. But exhorting one another, whether it be by phone, texting, email, WhatsApp, Zooming, etc., whatever means of communication, while that may help, and yet there is no substitute for collectively getting together as a body. And so, this is so needful. We see here from this scripture, exhorting one another. And it says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? Brethren, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I believe he's talking about the time of the Lord drawing nigh. And as we see the end times coming closer and closer, I believe we're on the threshold of that. We're in the last days of the last time. And so it is more needful than ever, even as our brother Jude exhorted us, that it's needful to contend for the faith. And this morning, more than ever, I believe it's needful and very necessary that we contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. That same faith, what we embrace this morning in 2020. The third scripture is in 1 John 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. We see from this verse, Christians will have fellowship. They will gather together. You note that? Did you see what it said? But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. How can you do that without collective worship? How can you do that without gathering together for a worship service? Christians will have fellowship. They will gather together. And then it states that, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It almost seems like this worshiping together, collective worship, carries with us the implication of redemption. It says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We talk about those things. We remind us of our redemption. We remind us of what God has done for us and is presently doing for us, I trust. So how long can Christians refrain from gathering collectively? I'm not sure. I don't know. But I know there comes a time when it's very difficult to refrain from that. And I guess I personally find myself at that presently. The longer that we refrain from doing that, it's difficult. I have such a longing to just connect in some way. And when Brother Daniel asked for volunteers to share in a devotional or in a meditation for the church this morning, I didn't need a second invitation. I was ready to go. And I trust that we find ourselves all in that situation. I am not sure how long we can continue without gathering together for worship. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work out for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I believe that if we have faith, there is nothing that cannot work out for the good for the people of God, for us personally. If we have faith, we know that all things work out for good to those who are called according to his purpose. So we can ask the question, what good can come out of this? What good can come out of COVID-19? What good can come out of what we're presently experiencing, not being able to worship collectively, being called by the authorities to refrain from that? Well, I'm not sure what all, but I know there are some things, and I know there's a number of things that I'm sure that can result for the good of the people of God. One thing, of course, is a deeper appreciation for gathering together. Probably most of us, we have never known anything else. We have never been in a situation like this before when the authorities, when the rulers of the land asked us to refrain from worshiping and worship services were prohibited. So that in itself, to me, it generates a much deeper appreciation. Believe me, I think I will not forget this time when we are not able to gather together. And it's going to mean just a lot more to me once we can get together again. Now, here are some other things for us to consider, some things to think about as we think what good can result from COVID-19. I'd like to give you a few things that I've been thinking about, and possibly you have a number of things that the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, has laid on your heart as well. I believe it's a time of spiritual awakening. And when I say a time of spiritual awakening, I'm not referring just to the people of God. I'm referring even to the people at large. It has given many people a different frame of mind. They're thinking different than what they had previously. Now, they may be thinking of other things that they're appreciating or that they'll appreciate other than mutually gathering together. But I believe that it has been a spiritual awakening for many as well. They're thinking different. They're thinking about, religious liberties being taken from us. They're thinking about what does this mean? It just simply causes many to think. And what would be more wonderful than if it would be the turning of many hearts to God? I believe it at least is to some degree. It's doing that. It's generated a spiritual awakening. I have had more people talk about and discuss things and being open to discussing scriptural, spiritual things than previously. And secondly, it has also caused the people of God, as Christians, it surely caused us to stop and consider. It's probably rearranged our thinking, at least to a degree. We think more soberly. We think about what is it, Lord? What is in this for us? What are you telling us? What does this all mean? And I believe it causes us to spend more time in prayer and to search and to seek the face of God as to what this is all about. It has created opportunities to witness for Christ. There's many opportunities that seemingly has opened up opportunities to witness for Christ. When people speak about what's going on or what's happening or what can we expect in the future and so forth, it's an excellent opportunity. It's an open door to point to Scripture and share from the Scripture what the Scripture says about these kind of things and that it has forewarned us about these things. And so I believe that it's a not real opportunity and has been for the turning of hearts to God and to discuss and to share the things of God and be a witness for Christ and just simply share from Scripture that this is what Scripture says about these things. And we see that in the past that the apostles and Paul especially took the liberty to do that. We could we think about what happened there in Pentecost in Jerusalem there when the people, as they listened to the apostles and the Holy Spirit fell and the apostles began to preach and Peter preached. And the people there said, what's going on? They had questions, what's going on? And they had their own version, their own speculations of what's happening. They accused them of being drunk and so forth. And Peter said, no, that's not what's happening. This is what the prophet Joel spoke about. See, Peter pointed to Scripture and said, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about. And this is a fulfillment of that. And we can likewise, we have a tremendous opportunity to point to Scripture and share that this is what Jesus spoke about when he spoke about the end times and he spoke about the pestilence and the earthquakes and the famines and the men's hearts failing for fear and those things. This is what the Lord spoke about. It's right there. We can show them from the Scriptures that this is a fulfillment of that. This is what's happening. As I think of a time of spiritual revival for Christians, I believe it's a time for us to hear the voice of God speaking to us in a way that possibly that we often don't. We certainly don't when things are normal. You see, when we have difficult times and when there's difficulties in life, that's when God can speak to us. It was the same way with Elijah there in Mount Carmel. As he ran for his life and as he hid in that cave, he heard this still small voice of God speaking to him. It wasn't in the raging storms and winds and so forth. But it was a still small voice that simply came and asked Elijah and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Can you hear God's voice this morning speak to us today through COVID-19, asking us, what are you doing here? What are you doing with this experience? You see, we can be fearful like Elijah was there, and we can be fearful of, you know, the economic fallout, what's all going to happen, how are we going to survive, and what's going to happen with us. But you see, God has an answer. God speaks to us through these times. And I believe this is definitely such a time when we can hear the voice of God in a way that maybe we wouldn't otherwise. It's also a time of a greater awareness of the workings of God. Now, we look at Scripture and we read Scripture and we share and we talk about the workings of God. But when something like this, something like COVID-19, when something like this engulfs us and surrounds us, for me personally especially, it's just brought a greater awareness of the workings of God. Did you know that God forewarned us about COVID-19? Did you know that? Maybe you haven't thought of it in that way. I know I really didn't at first, but more than ever, I think about the fact that God forewarned us about COVID-19. And I refer there to Matthew 24 and verse 7, where one of the things he mentions about the end times is the very thing of pestilence. So, you know, the Lord told us there shall be pestilence. There'll be things like we're experiencing presently, men's hearts failing from fear, earthquakes and so forth, and pestilence. And this certainly, of course, we have this pestilence. We have this pandemic that's a global thing. Now, the fact that God forewarned us about COVID-19, you know, the one thing he didn't do, he just didn't give us any dates. He didn't give us any dates when it will be. You know, if God would have told us that in 2020 there's going to be a pandemic, there's going to be COVID-19, and he would have put a date on, we would have prepared, wouldn't we? Probably, at least, I think I would have prepared more thoroughly than what I have at present, or what we did prior to this. So, you see, God forewarns us. He told us about COVID-19, but he just didn't put a date to it. And even though we know these things, we tend to just, as we say, kick the can on down the road and think that, yeah, it's there, but, you know, if someone would have said that in the end times there's going to be a global pandemic, we would probably have said, yeah, or I would have probably said, yeah, yeah. But are you expecting it in 2020? Well, yeah, it could happen, maybe, but probably not. So you see, we're forewarned about these things, and we have these things. Scripture forewarns us about what things are going to be like in the end times, but we just don't have any dates for them. And so the fact that we don't have any dates for them, we tend to push it down the road and just, we certainly acknowledge, yes, you know, some future time, these things are going to happen. But are they going to happen in 2020? Yeah, well, maybe they could. But we probably don't really prepare for them, certainly not like we should. So, as I think of what good can come out of COVID-19, I believe that for us as the people of God, it certainly should stir in us a time, or a certainly be a greater awareness of the workings of God. So let's remember these things, that as we think about life and what we face and what's upon us at the present, Jesus said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. This is the beginning of things. And I'm not here to paint a dark picture. Quite the opposite, actually, because what that does, it should prepare us, and we should look up with anticipation for the return of the Lord. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. In Matthew 24, verses 32 and 33, Jesus said, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, yea, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Isn't that exciting? It is, if we're looking at the right, if we have our vision, if our vision is what it ought to be, and if we're looking up, you know, we see that this is, in fact, it can be an exciting time. Now, with that, of course, we cope with the difficulties and what it does to our current comfort zone we've been used to. But really, if we consider the last 50-100 years and maybe even longer than that, what we have experienced here as Christians in the West, in the U.S. especially, it is not a normal Christian experience. Read of what the people of God, what their life consisted of, and what they endured. So, you know, our life, as we have known it here in this present generation, is not the normal Christian experience. And so, God has a reason for all these things. And when we think of what good can result from COVID-19, I think there can be much good, much good. But now I'm not looking at the economic fallout or the other things that are affected by that, the social distancing and all these things that we're required of presently. But what it is, what I'd like what I'd like to give us as a reminder here is it's an opportunity to have our faith strengthened. And I believe that we can come through this better and stronger Christians. We read the scripture there in Romans chapter 8. The question was, what shall separate us, or who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And may I add to that, and from each other. Who shall separate us? What shall separate us from the love of Christ and each other? Shall COVID-19 or any other thing? The answer, I believe, is nothing shall separate us from that. We have an anchor this morning for our soul that is both steadfast and sure. And we want to bring that anchor into focus. We want to use this as an opportunity to bring others into the fold and share with others that they need not be fearful, that there is a bright future, there's a glorious future, that the best is yet to come for those who love God and love His Word. Father in heaven, this morning, just call upon You. We thank You, Father, that Thou art God. Thou art God over all, and Thou art God of strength and might and glory and honor. And Father, we recognize Thee as such, and we look to You especially, pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank You, Father, for Your hand that ruleth over all. And Father, that we can trust You this morning, and we can trust that whatever the future holds, that it will be well for us spiritually as we look to You. And so I pray especially for our brethren at Shade Mountain, for all of us together this morning, that our faith would be strengthened through these things. And Father, this morning, we just simply confess and plead that, you know, we miss not gathering together. We miss this very much. And we pray for direction and how we ought to relate to this, and how long, O Lord, should this go on, and how should we deal with this? Father, we have Your word of how Christians in the past, how the people in the past, how they valued and how they were encouraged and strengthened by their gathering together, and how this is such a vital part of the Christian experience. So, Father, this morning we confess that we need wisdom, we need direction, Father, for we know not what to do about these things. And just help us and show us how to move ahead in this present time. And Father, I pray that each one's faith would be strengthened greatly, and would be a time of spiritual growth to us all. So Father, we commit our life and all to You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.